talk a little bit more about faith tonight. Of course, we're going to preach a different sermon, not along the same lines as this morning, but I want to talk to you a little bit about these things. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 1. We'll read 1, 2, and 3 and maybe talk about some other things in the chapter. Let's go ahead and pray, and then we'll read the scriptures here. Lord, we thank you, dear God, for your goodness tonight. Thank you for the good spirit. Thank you, God, for the unity in the house tonight. Lord, we pray that you'd help and be with anybody, God, that couldn't make it tonight. We know Miss Faye and various others are sick, God, and we pray that you'd help them. Yes. And be with them. And then, Lord, the remainder of the church, dear God, maybe some of these, Lord, that only come on Sunday morning. Lord, we certainly do thank you for those, and we're glad that they're come. Lord, I pray, God, that you'd help them make them away, oh God, to where they can be here with us on every service. And, Lord, I know you do great and mighty things in their lives for it. They benefit from it greatly. The church benefit from it greatly. We'll thank you and praise you for all that you do. God, I pray now for the need of the hour, which is the message that has to be preached right now. I pray that you'd help me. I pray, oh God, that you'd use me. Help me to say what's needful. Help me, God, Lord, not say anything that shouldn't be said. And Lord, you get the glory and honor for all that's said and done. And we'll thank you and praise you. In Jesus Christ's name, we pray these things. Amen. Amen. All right. Now, tonight I want to talk to you about getting some things done. Just getting some things done. I don't really have a message, but in each and every one of our lives, we won't listen. Nobody in this room, whether you think of it now, whether it's important to you now, whether or not it's high on your priorities or not, nobody in this room wants to slip from this life into eternity with nothing to show for it. And let me say this, there are some things that you can do as a man or as a woman that you definitely will, that will mean something, though they're not spiritual things. I believe a mother that raises her children and teaches them to do right and is responsible and I mean, just does what she's supposed to do as a mother, or a father that just does what he's supposed to do as a father or as a provider or what, just ruling his household well and doing the right things. And like Proverbs 31 says about a virtuous woman, the things that a woman or a man is supposed to do, I believe those things will mean something for those that are saved. If you're saved and you're going to heaven, those things will mean something. But at the same time, let me say that there's more to this life than just the physical life. We all have a spiritual life that we can lead. We all have a Bible in our lap that we can read and understand and incorporate into our life. And just because you're not a Sunday school teacher, or just because you're not a preacher, or maybe you're not a pastor, and you're not an evangelist, that doesn't mean that you can't take part in a spiritual work and have a spiritual application to your life. Every single person in this room, regardless of your age, if you're old enough to be saved and old enough to understand the gospel, you can make a spiritual difference in your town. I'm not talking about just giving somebody food or something like that. And those things are not to be scoffed at. Those things are admirable. The Lord said if you just give a cup of water, that it would mean something and be something. But let me just say this. Don't count yourself out as far as spiritual things go. You read about Elijah in the Bible, calling down fire and all these great things. And of course, I've preached to you messages about that before and made application to things that it can pertain to in this day and time. That fire came down and got rid of some things. It burned up a sacrifice. Well, the fire can come down from heaven, and I'm talking about the Holy Spirit now, burn some things out of your life. I know that there's applications like that. But listen, we read about these great men and we hear about and we talk about preachers from the past maybe, and they said this to so and so and they done this and they accomplished all these great things. There's none of these things that you can't do. None of these things that you can do. You can deal with the sick. You can deal with the lost. You can, you hear preachers, they say, I run into this man and he said this and I said that, and I come back with this and he come back with that, and I said this and God finally done that. It's a great story. We all like them kind of stories and stuff, like, at least I do. I don't know about you, but I hope you understand what I'm talking about. But at any rate, you hear those stories and you think, well, that's what that preacher done, and that's what that preacher done. Hey, you can do those very same things. The woods is full of old lost heathen out there that needs to be dealt with. You can have your own stories. I made up my mind. Listen, I told my little girls today riding home, I was listening to my old preacher. I got one of my CD sets out and listened to my old preacher, Preacher Lackey. And I said, girls, I love that man right there. I love to hear him talk. I mean, I like to hear just the mountain words that come. I mean, forget the sermon sometimes. I just like to hear him talking. But then especially what he's talking about and hearing the stories and hearing the things that went on. I mean, I love to hear that. But I listened to that man growing up. I listened to him for many years. But then I said to myself, I want my own stories. I want my own stories. I want my life to mean. I don't want to go to heaven saying, well, hey, I knew Preacher Lackey. And Lord, you remember Preacher Lackey told about what he'd done and told about how you helped him and told about all these things. I knew him. Yeah. This is not super. This, the world has a superstar mentality. So and so came to town. Brad Pitt came and signed autographs, or it's hard to remember names now. Most everybody goes by a nickname or something like it. There ain't no real names. It used to be Rock Hudson the Fag and all that kind of stuff. I mean, but you know, used to people had real names. Now they got stupid names, Ice Cube and. Ice Tea and Vanilla Ice and Snoopy Dog and somebody come to town, he signed my autograph. Listen, I don't want to go to heaven just know somebody that done something. I want to do something. And in God's estimation, the world's estimation, it probably involves girls or guns. Thank God for guns, amen.
Yeah.
But cars, fast cars, or some great deeds or something like that. But God's economy is not that way. In order to do great things for God, you only need one thing, and that's a belief in His Word. A belief in Him and a belief in His Word. Look with me right there in verse number 6. Let me read that first. It says, without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is. Now that's one part of the sentence right there. You got to believe that God is. And I believe that God is.
Amen.
I believe that God is. And I'm very happy that God let me have my old preacher. Let me have my... I was raised to believe that God was. And I was raised to base that belief on the Word of God. Not on anything that I've seen. It's kind of something to think about, but I hope you can do the same thing. I don't believe anything that I believe because I've seen it.
Amen.
You could take away all of my visual history. You could take my brain and erase everything that I've ever seen in my life, and it wouldn't hurt my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, because my faith is not based on that. The Bible says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And every single doctrinal, theological thing that I believe is because I found it in my Bible.
Amen.
And visual experience has nothing to do with it. If you say, well, I know what the Bible says, but I've seen one. I don't care. I don't care about what you see. The eyes can play trick on you. I told you this morning about what I saw when Brother Dane passed away. And that's a great story with me, and I'm glad that I've got that experience.
Amen.
But you know, in a week or two, I'll begin to say, now, was that just a trick of the light? Or was that just... And in my mind, because time does something about your memory.
Yeah.
And things just not... Things won't be the same in 2 weeks. And did I see it that way, or did I not see it that way?
Right.
Or was it the light, or was it... You know, was it the lateness of the hour, or was it my... You know, I know what I've seen, and I know what I experienced, but I'm not basing it. You know, if I forget that experience tomorrow, it won't change one thing about what I believe about my God. Because what I believe about my God comes out of the book and not out of my experiences. In other words, I thank God for my experience. I thank God for what I've seen with my eyes in that little room with Brother Dane. And really, that makes me feel good, pretty good about him. I know what that says about him. But listen, everything that was true in my Bible, everything that I know about my Bible, that experience didn't change it. And it didn't nullify it. And it really didn't even confirm it. God confirms His Word through faith. Amen? And I know that there is a demonstration in power that's included in the Word of God. But a demonstration happens for those that believe. You believe first, and then there's a demonstration in power. And so I thank God for that. So he said, but without faith it is impossible to please Him, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is. And I believe that He is. You could come up with you could pull out the chalkboard. And they say you can prove everything with math. And you could put the X's and the Y's and the Z's and that equals B's and put all that stuff up on the board and say, here the conclusion is that there ain't no God. And I wouldn't believe it. I wouldn't care what kind of scientific experiment you believe. You know what I thought about this today? I read in my Bible that the Bible says that one of these days God is going to send men a strong delusion so that they would believe a lie. And I believe it's going to be a scientific breakthrough. I believe that some scientist is going to come up with some scientific experiment, and it's got, lo and behold, it's going to prove to all the infidels that there is no God. And they'll believe it and run with it, and they'll be damned by it. But if you got a faith in God's Word, that stuff won't shake it. Don't care what the scientist says. You stick me in a room and take a little monkey and put him in a mud hole and plug him up to some electricity and zap him with about 3 million volts and turn him into a raccoon. I wouldn't believe in evolution. I've seen enough magic tricks over my days. The Word of God says what it says, and I believe that God is. Believe that God is. And that's what a believer is. A believer just, he believes. And he believes all the time. And I said this yesterday at the funeral. It kind of bothers me. You know, it happens with young people mostly. But it also happens with older people. You know, you get a preacher, and I've got Brother Mark. He comes in at least once a year and fusses at people, and people get right with God. Listen, I believe if you're really a believer, you'll believe all year round, not just when Mark McGahey comes in and fusses at you. I told Brother Nathan yesterday, I said, I think most of it is folks responding to correction just like a kid does rather than getting right with God. If I come in here and scold you, you might get right. If you see the correctness of what I'm saying, you might get right from a scolding. But some people get right because they believe there is a God. And they believe there is a consequence. There's a reason, young people, why some people can be the same. We got little inconsistencies, and we're up and we're down, and we're hot and we're cold and we're lukewarm. I understand all those things. Sometimes you feel like serving God more than others. I understand that. But listen, there's a reason why folks are consistent all the year long, and not they don't just get right when a certain preacher's in town. Or come to church when there's a certain preacher in town. And that's because they believe. That you don't have to stand behind them with a broom. I dare you to get out of line. I dare you. Come on, I dare you. Right. If somebody believes, they just believe. I mean, right. you know, the people who don't touch high electricity wires is the people that believe electricity will kill them.
Yeah. That's right.
That's right. Now, you driving down the road and you happen to see somebody hanging, dangling from the electric wire. That's a person that don't believe he's in danger. Wonder what, you know, the people that don't stand around touching the hot stove, that's the people that believe it'll burn them. They live according to their beliefs. And don't tell me you believe if you can't just, you know, you don't read your Bible, you don't pray, you don't do it. Don't tell me you believe because I don't believe it no more. There's a nice religion that wants to include everybody. And I'm about to get over nice religion. Because I see in my own life, and I sit down and I have little talks with myself, a little bit bipolar. But I sit down and have talks with myself and I say, listen, why am I doing this? And the only answer can be, I really don't believe that it's wrong, or I really don't believe.
Right.
That's the only way, that's the only thing I can come up with.
Right.
Unless I'm just stupid, and that's a possibility.
Yeah.
That is possible, you dumb as a box of rocks.
Right.
But listen, the better explanation is you don't believe what you profess to believe. And there are professors and there are confessors, but not many believers. Some listen, Folkestone's full of them. Knock on the door, you saved? Oh yeah, I'm saved.
Yeah.
Purple hair, smells like pot coming out of the house. Well, I believe. You do not believe. You believe.
That's right.
Mm.
Amen.
Criminals are not hanging out down at the sheriff's department because they believe that the sheriff is going to put them in the pokey if they see them. Amen?
Right.
Well, don't that make sense to you? Christians are living right because they believe. They believe that God is, and they believe that He meant what He said. And then He says, not only that, He said, must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. And He's talking about somebody that wants to please God. And so He says, without faith it is impossible to please Him, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Now let me get this through your head. I don't care who you are or how old you are, God will reward you and give you His power and give you His strength and give you His joy if you'll just diligently seek Him. That's all you got to do. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Diligently seek Him. Boy, God, let you do something. So I'm just 15. Or I'm 115. What can I do? I don't know. Get after it. Just do something and see what God will do. Test Him out.
Right.
But you know, I say that, and I better go ahead and throw this in. Sometimes God will test you. You think you're testing God. Okay, I'm going to test God and see what He won't do. And God invites you to do that. Come now, let us reason together, He said. He said, come and taste and see that the Lord is good. He invites you to do that. Sometimes you'll think you're testing God when actually God's testing you. And the Bible says that God, it's a possibility that you could hear a false prophet. And he says something that's coming to pass. Now the test of a false prophet is this. If what he says don't come to pass, he's a false prophet.
Right.
Now we think we got our doctrine sound right there. But that's not complete. God said he had also let a false prophet say something and let it come to pass just to see if you'll stick with what the book says instead of what the prophet said.
Right.
Hear the prophet say something, say, oh, that's true. Let's run after it. But it come to pass. But the Bible says something different. That's why the Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God.
Yeah.
Oh, I seen it with my eyes. Better stay with the book. Better study your Bible.
Yeah.
Study to show yourself approved. Not watch to see yourself approved.
Yeah.
Well, sometimes you'll think you're testing God. God's actually testing you. You'll say, now God, I'm going to work. And I want to see you do something in my life. And God's up in heaven saying, I want to see you do something whether I do something or not. So you get busy for God and you just do what He told you to do, whether He does anything or not. See, we live in a society where payday's every Friday. In God's economy, payday's not every Friday. Payday's when He decides to pay you.
Yeah.
Amen. You may have a short season of labor and God will bring things to pass. But you may have a long season of labor before God does anything about anything. I've seen some folks pray for their husband 3 or 4 days and they get saved. I've seen folks pray for their wives and pray for their family 30, 40 years. Still no results. Brother Dane prayed for his sons to get saved as long as he's been saved. Not been there yet. Never. You know, you read on in this chapter, it said some of these men, they walked and they searched for a city that they never found. But that's neither here nor there. God can do what He wants to do. The Bible said you've got to believe that He is. And that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek. Your reward may not come till after this life. Eternity will be reward enough.
Yeah.
It's easy to say amen to that, but boy, it's another thing. When things get tough and you say, well, Lord, I need something here. I need something here. And we're living and we're breathing, we're alive, we're above ground. We're saying, God, I need something. I need something to help me. I need something to show me that You love me. And we're breathing saved and all this stuff He done showed us. The only physical evidence that God ever really needs to give you, He's already done for you. Somebody says, I need God to show me He loved me. That's done. I'm not saying He won't ever do anything else. I'm not saying that. But Jesus Christ died on the cross, hung there in shame for my sin and for your sin. The sin debt is paid. The love that God needs to manifest in order to get us interested has already been done. Don't need to prove nothing to us today. God don't need to prove one cotton picking thing to us today. I'm not saying that He won't. I'm just saying that He don't have to, because He's already done more than enough.
Amen.
Kind of like a mother. I'm conscious of the fact, my wife's not in here, I'm conscious of the fact that she does act like my mom sometimes, that my wife goes above and beyond. Sometimes she's done more than her fair share. God's done more than His fair share. Amen. He certainly has. Even if He never done nothing else, He's done more than His fair share. But God is a rewarder for them that deserve it. And I believe that. I believe I'm on the right side. I've been in situations where people say, what you going to do now? You said it was going to be like this, and things, you was hoping things would go this way and didn't go that. What about now? Hey, I'm going to keep on going if the Lord be graceful to me. I speak as a fool. The devil's knocked many a man out, and I'm not saying that I'd be immune to that. But as far as I care today, God's done more than enough for me. I believe that He is.
Yeah.
And I believe that, and I don't, listen, I know that even though if I never get nothing in this life, there's another life a coming.
Amen.
The eternal life. You understand what I'm trying to say. I believe that. I believe that way. I believe that way. No question about that. So he says in verse 1, he says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it," faith, what he's talking about in verse 2, "for by it the elders obtained a good report." You see that word obtained? They obtained it. They captured it. In other words, they did something to earn it, or they did something to deserve it. By faith, they've done a thing and they obtained a good report. And the chapter goes on to list good deeds and good results associated with faith. By faith, Enoch was translated. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. Wouldn't you like to do something by faith that would save your house? Let me say something to you. You don't know it yet, but your house is under assault. Yes, sir. Every person that's got living, breathing wives and children, not wives. I'm talking to more than one family. So wives and children and all such things as that, your house is under assault whether you know or not. Amen. So faith. Say, how am I going to save my family in this untoward generation? Faith. Have to have faith in God. And faith will manifest itself in a specific way. So it says, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should have to receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. So this whole chapter is about things that people did, not what they professed. You believe in Jesus? Yes. That means absolutely nothing. Doesn't make any difference what you profess. You say, "Brother Mike, we're not saved by works." I didn't say that you was. But what I'm saying is, if you've got faith and if you truly believe, there'll be some action behind it.
Yes,
it's not action and then salvation. It's salvation and then action. And if you say you believe a thing, but there's no action, there's nothing that follows that, then all you've got is a profession. Come down and make a profession of faith. I'd really rather you didn't.
Right.
Call on Him, yes, call on Him. And ask Him to save you, but after you're saved, do something. There ought to be a change in your life. There ought to be something that follows it.
Right.
Chapter 11 is a testimony to that. Faith, and James says, faith without works is dead.
Right.
It's dead. Faith without works is dead. And I believe that. And I believe you can be saved without works, having faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But faith without works is dead. And I gave you the whole sermon on it this morning. Why live the rest of your life with dead faith? There's a time between the time you get saved and the time that you die that you've got to give an account for. There's something there to be done. So he says, all of these things, by faith Noah did this. He said, by faith Sarah did this. By faith Abraham did this. And all these examples that he gives us. Now let's turn back real quick and look in Romans chapter number 10 and verse number 17. And it says, let's read verse 16. Verse 16. Romans 10:16. "But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Esaias saith, Lord, who hath believed our report?" See that context? Believe. Who's believed our report? The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11 that the elders obtained a good report. And so he says here, who's believed our report? But he says, look here, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." And that's exactly what I was telling you a while ago. I read about Elijah, well, I want to do something. I don't want Elijah to get all the goods. I don't want Elijah to... When we get to heaven, I don't want Jesus and Elijah stand up there talking about all that they've done. But I'm not jealous or even envious. What I'm saying is that when I read my Bible and I see what God has done, I know that the purpose of God even telling me the story about Elijah or Moses, the purpose that God had when He gave us these stories is to show that God would do that in us and for us and through us. If God ever rescued Moses, He'd rescue me. That's why He gave us the story. He didn't just tell us the story to go, na 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 boo boo, we got all the goodies. The book is not a book of exclusion. The only people that's excluded in the Bible is unbelievers. If you believe, you're included, and you can do anything in this world. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. If God delivered Moses, if God delivered Paul, if He delivered him this way or if He delivered him that way, physically, mentally, if God encouraged him when he was discouraged, God can do that for me. If God let him down in a basket when it didn't look like there was no other way of escape, hey, when you're in trouble, start looking for baskets. Boy, I don't know what I'm going to do next. Well, start looking around for baskets. Then you'll find one somewhere. What are you talking about? A way to escape. The Bible says He'll make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. You don't believe it? That's your problem. I looked out in the backyard today and there was a basket. Ruth had the little clothes basket outside. And if the wind blowed it across the backyard, I looked out there, there it was. If I was a man ought to have been, I went out there and picked it up, but I was too lazy. Went there and took a nap. You look around, God show you a basket. God show you a way to escape. Well, there's no need to sit around and stress and strain and have anxiety attacks about things. No use in that. No use in that. If you believe in God, take advantage of it. God's going to make me a way of escape. Amen. And God even gave some men a couple of days in jail to think about it. Paul sitting in jail. Oh, I thought you was going to rescue me. Now, that ain't what he had done. He's in there singing, "Nearer My God to Thee," or something. Ain't that what he was doing?
Yeah.
Well, the jail began to shake and shimmer, and doors fell off, and they were so comfortable in that jailhouse with God, they didn't even leave. Doors fell off. They just sat there and kept singing. Do thyself no harm. We're all here. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. The faith that you get from the Word of God causes you to do some work. It converts you from what you was into something you're supposed to be for God now. New creatures. There are professors and there's confessors. But they don't mean what they confess. Oh, I believe God. No change. No desire to do the right things. Well, I've been praying more and more that God would give me new desires. This flesh is very strong. I don't care if you're a preacher or a deacon. I don't care what. This flesh is strong. God, give me, Lord, if I'm a new creature and you've converted me, and Lord, if you want me to, Lord, just help me with these things. Help me. And He will. He will. I believe He will and He does. I'll just leave it right there. Now look with me right quick in James. James chapter number 1. I've already preached twice as long as I thought I was going to. James chapter number 1. Boy, I love the book of James. Just because a lot of people hate the book of James. Anybody ever heard of Martin Luther? The Reformed? Not Martin Luther. King. That's the wrong Martin Luther. Martin Luther, the Reformer. The German, the one they wanted this new guy to be, the reformer. That's the wrong kind of reformation. But anyway, Martin Luther didn't like the book of James. Faith without works is dead. And that, it really looks like a contradiction with the book of Romans, but you got to write and divide the word of truth. And God hadn't revealed that yet. God didn't reveal that yet. But oh, he didn't know what to do with it. That's all right. God can work in spite of whether Martin Luther believes or not or understands or not. And that's a great thing too, let me say. God can do a lot of things in your life without your having understanding. I've read many of things in my Bible. I didn't fall off the apple cart understanding everything that I know now, which is not a great deal. But listen, I know times in my life when I read one verse and I read another verse, I said, it don't make no sense to me. But I remember in the Bible, somebody was told to do something. They didn't understand it. They said, nevertheless, at thy word. And they went ahead and did what they were supposed to do. Simon Peter, the Lord said, you know, Simon Peter was the fisherman.
Right. Right.
And here's Jesus. He says, tell you what you do. I know you've been fishing all day and ain't caught nothing. But you put it on the right side and you'll pull up a drought. Simon Peter says, you know, kind of like you do when God tells you to do something. Hey, how about witnessing to that boy over there? Hey, put down what you're doing. Go tell that man what Jesus had done for you. And you say, I'm pressed for time. Lord, don't you know? I know you know everything, but don't you know my schedule? You know how we do. Right. Simon Peter kind of had a thought like that, but then he said, nevertheless, at thy word, we'll let it down. What's the Bible say? They brought in a drought, didn't they? About broke their nets, didn't they? Well, listen, that just goes to show you don't have to have understanding. You don't have to have perfect understanding. Now go ahead and strive for it. I mean, I want you to want it with all your might. I mean, go after it and try to get all the understanding that you can. But when God says something, just take it and believe it. And if you don't understand it, I've had smart alecks come to me and say, look what this says. Nah, I thought you said this was perfect. And I look at it and I didn't understand it. And in the back of my mind, I feel a little embarrassed because I didn't have the answer and it looked like they got the underhand. And I said, well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to go ahead and believe it anyway. You're stupid. And God said, that's all right, my son, I'll show you.
Yes,
might be a year, might be 5 years. God said, here's the answer to that jerk. You say, why didn't God show that man? I mean, that man's the one that didn't understand. That man's the... Because he don't believe. You say, you mean that God expects me to believe even if I don't understand it, even if it don't make sense to me? Exactly. What kind of sense do you think it makes? Yeah, just stand here by this sea.
Yeah.
And don't worry about that army that's coming up behind you. And I'll tell you the solution to this sea. Just hold out this stick. Now, he didn't say... he didn't give him every detail. He just said, hold out your stick.
That's right. Right.
And before he even sent him, he said, Lord, I'm going to go down there and they're not going to believe it. He said, what's that in your hand? What's a stick? So he gets down there by the Red Sea and the Lord says, hold out your stick. That's about how I do half of my stuff. Blank look on my face, don't know what's going to happen next. Back goes the water and there's a way. Well, you swore there wasn't no way.
Right.
How many times that come to pass in your life? How many times is God going to have to show you that there's a way where there's no way?
Amen.
And it's there every time.
Yes.
It's there every single time. Every time you don't see it, there it is. God don't want you looking at the way. God wants you looking at Him.
That's right.
That's all He wants you to do is look at Him. Believe on Him. I got off track there a little bit. Maybe I can get back on track. Let me say this. He said, look in verse James chapter number 1. Oh yeah, what's that fellow's name again? Martin Luther, not liking the book of James. He didn't understand it, just didn't understand it. But that's alright, God used him anyway. You don't understand something, just keep believing God. I'm going to believe it, don't care if it looks like I'm wrong. I'm going to believe it. It's what it says, and God will show you the answer down the road. Unless you're so hard-hearted you can't be changed. I've been to God many times and I said, Lord, I believe eternal security. I believe baptism is the way it is. I believe everything. I believe there's a rapture. I believe there's a tribulation. I believe there's a 1,000-year reign. I believe the deity of Christ. I believe in the Trinity. I believe in all these things. But if any one of them's not true, I'm willing to trade it for you any day. Any day. I don't care if my preacher believes it. I don't care if Martin Luther believes it. I'm not holding on to traditions. I'm not holding on to something just because my mother believed it or just because my father believed it. If God showed me the truth, I changed my mind in a heartbeat. This book is more important than all that. And I believe God sees that kind of an attitude. Boy, I'm sinful and I go astray and I can't keep my mouth shut sometimes and I do stupid things sometimes and I don't do what I ought to and sometimes I do things that I shouldn't. But there's one thing at the end of the day that God is pleased with, and it's He's pleased with folks that believe.
That's right.
Rahab was a harlot.
Right.
She believed God.
Right.
Some of us stuffed shirts need to realize that God has already proved that our principles and our standards in the community don't mean nothing, and God has used harlots and reprobates and the most sinful, illicit of men. God's used them if they just believed it. You know who else is in Hebrews chapter 11? Samson.
Yeah.
Samson was a man weak in the flesh.
Yeah.
Amen. God used him. God used him. Now, he didn't have the best of endings. Amen. So that kind of encouraged you to do the right along the way. Resist temptation. But that just goes to show how far God will go with the man that believes him. And whether you want to admit it or not, there are some men who believe God who are weak in the faith. And then there are some men that are very, very strong in their flesh. And they don't do a lot of bad things, but they don't believe God. And when it comes to those two, God will take the weak man, maybe a little bit more sinful or unprincipled, but man that believes God. You say, explain that to me, Brother Mike. That's one of the things I just can't explain. I've seen men mess up time and time and time again and still just try to serve God. At least that's what it looks like. And have results. Amen? I know Danny Castle, the fellow named Danny Castle. He's messed around on his wife twice and still pastoring. And I do not believe that. I don't believe in that. But you know what? He's out witnessing and he's got a lot of folks making professions of faith. And you know, I'm not going to bother him a bit. I'm not going to go to none of his meetings. I'm not going to go pal around with him. I'm not going to get around any of that crowd. But I hope when I get to heaven, I find out those were real and genuine conversions. I hope it's not a bad spirit or nothing like that. But see, I don't agree with the way he's living. He falls into the same trap over and over. That's what Samson done with a woman. He fell into the same trap over and over and over again. And I hate that happened to Danny. I'm not talking about him like a dog. He's a man just like me. What I'm saying is I don't agree with his mannerisms. I don't believe with his principles. I don't believe you can get caught in a trap like that unless you walk into it with on both of your feet. But what you going to do about the results? See, it's not Danny Castle's results. Danny Castle preaches this book. And people believe this book. And people get saved. What you going to do about that? Well, I don't believe. I don't care what you believe, man. I really don't care. People tell me, Dr. Ruckman's been married 3 times. He's also led about 6,000-7,000 people to Christ. I don't agree in getting married more than once. I intend to keep mine for the rest of my days. Whether she likes it or not. What Dr. Ruckman and his wife does is between him and his wife and God. They'll answer for that. I don't believe they've handled it according to the principles of God's Word. But there's a weakness in man that man can't do nothing about. But if he still believes God's Word, God's got a way of doing some things. That doesn't mean you to go get mixed up with folks who are not doing the right thing, but there's some things you just can't do nothing about. In other words, if you try to do something about it, you won't be able to explain it. Well, he's not doing it right, but he gets results. And I think I'm doing it right, and I don't get that kind of... Oh, you'll end up bitter and out of the ministry. Yeah. Fussing and cussing at everybody. You'll be worse off than the fella that cheated on his wife. You said, Brother Mike, you stand up for that. I am not. I think it's bad. I think it's pretty bad. But you're going to get mad at the man that messed up in his marriage, but he's doing something for God, and you got your first marriage, but you ain't doing nothing? But I will say this, it is good that you got your first marriage. You're doing that right. Amen. Now get to witnessing and preaching the gospel and praying and doing what you're supposed to do. You see, the thing about it is somebody like that gets out and they're preaching and teaching. That person they're preaching and teaching to, they don't know this man's background, lifestyle. All they know is they've heard this gospel. And if they see Jesus, it don't matter what the man that's talking about it's done. I agree he needs to be in touch with the Spirit of God and stuff like that. But Paul the Apostle said that some people preach Christ of contention. He said they don't even care. The only reason they're preaching is so they can get stuff stirred up so it'll be harder on me. See, Paul was the ringleader of the Gentile Christian movement. And there was preachers actually preaching in his day just to make things... They were stirring up a hornet's nest just to make things harder on Paul. See, Paul was about to stand before the most influential leader in the whole world, the leader of the Roman nation. And if the empire was in a buzz, he was going to know about it. So they stirred it all up, so caused Paul some trouble. But you know what Paul said? He said, I thank God because Christ is being preached and it's having an effect. All these fellas trying to make it hard on me, but they're saving souls. He said, well, they didn't have a right heart. Well, God's going to judge that heart. He said, well, Danny Castle don't have a right heart. Well, God's going to judge that heart. Amen. That's right and true. Don't make no difference what you think about it. Brother Mike, can I go out and get me another wife? You better not. I'll skin your hide. Amen. Amen. Be right down at your house talking to you about that. Amen. You stay with the wife you got.
Amen.
Amen. You ain't done this one right. What you going to do with another one?
Right.
Let's move on down the road. Let's move on down the road. That ought to be another thing. Some folks get up on the soapbox as if everything's perfect and they tell somebody, well, you've been divorced, you can't do nothing. I don't believe that. I don't believe that. You just do what God lets you do. Whatever God tells you to do, you just go ahead and do it. Listen, does God forgive sins? Now, is that all sins or just some?
All.
I mean, you do something wrong, you realize it's wrong, God forgive me of it. The sin might have been getting married to begin with. Well, does God forgive all sin or all sin except divorce? Well, now see, that's faith. You either believe that or you don't. You either believe it or you don't. Now that you're forgiven, keep your wife and your husband. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I better get on. I'm trying. I think I got on all this by saying Martin Luther didn't understand the book of James. He didn't like it, but I said all that to say this. I like the book of James. I'm quite fond of the book of James, actually. Look what it says here in verse 22. Now, you see, I think about this all the time. If you just go through a little... James is harder than anybody in the New Testament. I don't know what it is about... James is just a little bit harder. But if you go through that hardship, then you get to learn some things. Now, sometimes I do this on purpose. We get somebody come in, visitor to the church. I'll just bear down a little while and preach real hard. And if they stick, I'll start teaching again. The Bible said, don't cast your pearls before the swine. These Bible doctrines are pearls, whether you know it or not. So sometimes I'll see if somebody can take the heat. And if they're really going to serve God, then I'll start teaching the greater things and the deeper truths of the Bible. But if they're just going to come in, I'm going to shoot right down their way a little while, see if they can stick in. And James opens his book. When James opened the book, he says, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like the waves of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of God. A double-minded man's unstable in all his ways. Bang, 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 bang. But you're unstable, ungodly, you don't got no faith. Oh, I don't like that. So they don't even go on to read stuff on down the line. From whence cometh wars? Come from you. I read the book of James. I read him in the voice of Percy Ray. Some of these old preachers. You ought to do that sometime. Get you an old gruff preacher and put him on the hard guys like James, and then get you some sweet voiced man like Vance Havner and read the book of John. Anybody know who Vance Havner is? Y'all don't know what's good. Instead of watching NCIS, go home tonight and type in on YouTube. YouTube's a wonderful thing if you can stay out of the ghetto section of it.
Yeah. Right.
Amen. Amen. YouTube's like every other city in America. It's got a ghetto. Got all kinds of... Let's just type in Vance Havner and listen to some of these fellas preach. You come back next week after listening to Vance Havner, I'll give you another name. Some of these preachers will knock your socks off, man. You think you're listening to the Prince of England talk. I'm talking about royalty, some of these guys. You'll never find it watching, you know, The Walking Dead and all that stuff. You're never going to get it. You're never going to get it. Never going to get it. Never going to get it. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. I can't even do that. I'd ruin my voice doing that. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. I don't want to be deceived of you. He says, for if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass, something he can see, and beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. See, that's what I was talking about a while ago. You look at a thing, you think you know what it is. 2 or 3 weeks down the road, you forgot exactly what you did see. But the Bible said, whoso looketh, verse 25, into the perfect law of liberty, your word, your Bible, he said, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. The Bible said, we're created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. If you'll read your Bible and then do what the Bible said you'll be blessed in your deeds. You'll be blessed in your deeds. Everything I do falls apart. Well, you must be a Baptist or a Christian. I don't know what you are. Things are going to fall apart from time to time, but the Bible says you'll be blessed in your deeds. I don't want you to be professors. I don't want you to be confessors, but I want you to be hearers, and I want you to be doers. We'll have a great church if we just do it that way. Walk in the unity of the Spirit, the bond of peace, and I believe that bond of peace is the Word of God. It's what ties everything together. We can have unity on who's the best football team. No, we can't. Oh, I say Cowboys. You say Redskins and Jags. And some of you say, ain't no good football teams. We all got our different... You ain't going to have no unity on earthly things. But you have a bond of peace in the Word of God. Unity in the Word of God. Be hearers. Be believers. Say, how can I tell if I believe? How can I tell if somebody believes? If they're doing. That's exactly what I wanted to get across to you tonight. What you hear and what you read in your Bible, apply it to your life. Try to do something for God. And listen, you don't know. I mean, not that much to do. Just talk for Him. Walk right principles to put some power behind what's coming out of your mouth. When you tell your neighbor or when you tell your friend at work, I believe in Jesus, there ought to be some principle in your life to back that up. You're not just a hearer, you're not just a professor, but you're a professor. You say and you do. That's all God expects out of you. You're going to run into arguments, you're going to run into all sorts of things. Just believe that God is and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Amen? Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your goodness, Your mercy tonight. We pray, oh God, You get glory and honor out of this church. Lord, I feel like it's time for this church to get to work, to get busy. Lord, we've heard the Word. We've been trained in the doctrines. Lord, we've read and studied Your Word. And Lord, we've heard message after message after message. And Lord, I think it's high time that we get a little more busy for You, doing the work that we ought to do, to become witnesses. Lord, to pray more than we've been praying. God, to trust You in our situations more. Lord, we don't necessarily have to understand every situation, but Lord, just help us to trust You and wait for You to reveal that way. Lord, we know that You are the way maker, but Lord, help us just to wait on You where You show us that way that we ought to walk. And then, Lord, I pray, oh God, for those of us that couldn't be here tonight. Lord, I pray that You'd help and bless there, Miss Faye. Lord, this young lady that's been coming, Lord, she's great with child. And Lord, she's had to leave a couple of times during the service. I don't believe she's mad. I believe, oh God, that she's having some trouble, Lord, with that pregnancy. I pray, oh God, You'd help her with that. Lord, I pray You'd do something in her life. Lord, young couple that was here this morning, God, I pray You'd do something in their life. I pray, oh God, Lord, I just feel like, God, You're wanting to do something in their lives. And Lord, I know that You're able and I know that You want to because You died on the cross to get it done. You've already showed us the evidence of that. We don't even have to go by feelings on that. But Lord, I pray, God, that You would do and that they would respond. Lord, help all these folks that we've made mention of. Help, I pray, oh God. I think about Ray and Allison. Think about Irma, God. I pray, oh God, You'd touch in all those situations. Lord, folks in the church have businesses. God, I pray that You would do something for them. Folks have urgencies, dear God, that they need taken care of right away. I pray You'd make a way for those things. Don't know how You'll do all these things, but I know that You will do them, God, because we know that You are and that You are a rewarder of them that diligently seek You. Lord, just help us diligently seek You. God, just help us to diligently seek You. And I know everything will be all right. In Jesus Christ's name, I pray these things. Bless the food that's across the way. Get glory and honor from our fellowship. And I thank you and praise you for what you do. Lord, I pray for Miss Drury tonight, God. I pray you'd watch over her. I know she's a little sick. And Lord, we neglected to pray for her this morning. But tonight, God, we lift her up to you, dear God, and ask you to help her and to be with her, God. These ladies that are sick, they do so much. Help them, dear God, is my plea. In Jesus Christ's name, we pray these things. Amen. Amen. You're dismissed. Thank you for coming.